Now, I want to tell you a story that happened to me just a little while ago. I was in my favorite restaurant. You know, yeah, I was in Cracker Barrel again. And you sit there, and you know, they had that big room there where the fireplace is. And as I was sitting there, I noticed this lady who was just kind of looking at me. You know, I'd look at her and I'd smile and she'd smile back, and it was kind of eerie, you know. I'm sitting there and I'm eating my dinner, and she still glances over to me and really wipes a tear from her eye and think, what is going on? It's the most unusual thing I've ever had in a restaurant ever. And so I was finishing my meal, and she had finished, and so she had come over to my table. And she says, I'm sorry I've stared at you, you know, throughout the meal. I know you've seen me doing that. She says, it's just that you remind me so much of my son who died over in Afghanistan. And she says, you just look so much like him. And I said, ma'am, I'm very sorry for your loss. And I thank you for your son's service to our country. And she says, you know, I really miss him. I said, I know it must be very tough. She said, you know, I noticed you're getting ready to go out. She says, I'll tell you what, when you get to the register and when you see me walk out the door, would you just say, goodbye, Mom? I said, what? It would just mean so much to me. You look so much like him. So I, okay. I get up to the register, and she goes out the front door and say, bye, Mom. Bye, son. And I go to the register to pay my bill. And my bill, normally $20, is now $42. I said, excuse me? Well, your mother said that you'd be picking up her tab today, so it's $42. I didn't want the waitress to get stiff with the money, so I paid the bill. And I walked out the door, and there she was in the parking lot. And I began as fast as I can, which really isn't very fast. Hey, come here. Mom, come here. And she didn't stop. And so here I am, I'm going in the parking lot, and I'm getting right up to her, and wouldn't you know it, I trip. So that I fall, and I grab onto her leg, and I said, you're not getting away. And so here I am, she's fighting me, and I'm pulling her leg, and she's fighting me, and I'm pulling her leg, just like I'm pulling yours now. It's always good to tell a nice story every now and then, isn't it? And when you can tell it when it almost sounds true, because you can identify with that, it makes it sound even better. And then when you know it really isn't true, you can kind of laugh at the joke, which I'm glad that you did, and glad that I was able to do that. But you know, one of the things that we always want to remember is that in our generation, in our time, to everyone that we meet, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is just that. It's a story. It is a factual story. It has facts to back it up, but it's just a story. And this morning, I want to give you 10 reasons why I believe in the resurrection account as the Bible portrays it and as history recognizes it. So I'm going to give you 10 reasons why I believe the resurrection. You're going to say, oh man, we're in for a long sermon. No, you're not. I promise you, you're not. Number one, I believe in the resurrection story because it was what I was taught from the day I was born. my mom and dad taught me that Jesus rose from the grave. I mean, who better to teach the values in family than the parents? Am I right? You want to teach your kids the values and those things that are important to you. I mean, really, would you want the government to teach your children values? Do you want the school system to teach your children the values of right and wrong? Do you want other kids to do that? Do you want the rock stars and the musicians and the crowd that hangs in Hollywood and you see on MTV and VH1 and your kids download into their iPods and watch? Do you want the video games to influence your kids and to build values into them? No, you don't. Who best to build values into your children than mom and dad? And that's why it is important to build good values, to spend time with your children. You see, I learned about the resurrection story from mom and dad. I learned the resurrection account from my church. I was very grateful that my mom and dad took me to church, and I don't remember ever not hearing the Easter story. I don't remember ever not seeing lilies on the platform and flowers. And I used to be a choir director, and at Easter time, we would have big Easter cantatas, and we would sing about the resurrection of the Lord, and I'd be a part of that, and I would... It was just a great time when the church taught about the Lord Jesus Christ and His resurrection. By the way, my parents knew what I was learning in church. You know what your kids are learning in church? We have an excellent children's program here. But you know what? You got to ask every now and then, what'd you learn today? And maybe they'll have a take-home paper that you'll feel obliged to post on your refrigerator with some kind of magnet. But it reminds them of the story, and it lets them know that you are interested. Oh, and by the way, please, take your children to church. Don't send your children to church. Why? It all goes back to the value system. Moms and dads, grandmas and grandpas, if you do not value church, if you do not value Christian education, your children will not value it. And though you can make them come when they're little kids, and they will have the time of their life when they're little kids, when they come into church, I want to let you know something. They see a whole lot more when they see mom and dad drive out the driveway and come back and pick them up a few hours later. Mom and dad, take your children to church. Don't send them. Because it works to build strong, healthy believers. Number three, when I was growing up, the school systems always gave consideration for Good Friday and Easter. Always did. We had time off. We had our spring break. And we would at least have the Thursday, Friday, and through maybe Monday, or maybe a week for the spring break. And we looked forward to it. I don't remember ever having to go to a church on a Good Friday, but at least the school system was encouraging this time because Christians and Jews celebrate the Passover. They celebrate this time of the year as a religious holiday. And so the schools would accommodate that. Even the government would accommodate that. Not so today. Really not so. Pinellas County did this year. Pasco County gave off kids for Good Friday, and then they have their spring break this next week. But have you seen the flap that's going on in Hillsborough County where they have not given their time off, and on Friday, Good Friday, Hillsborough County had literally tens of thousands, I think, of children that did not come to school. Maybe I'm a little high on that. Maybe all close to 10,000 kids that did not appear for school because of the religious holiday. And you know what the state of Florida had the nerve to do next year? They have scheduled FCATs during the week of Easter, before Easter. Now, write your school boards and write the state of Florida Because if you wanted to have your child take off on Friday, you can't do it now because of the FCATs. It's still open for discussion. Final decision has not been made, but the FCATs are later in April next year, the 24th, 25th, somewhere in that area, which is when Easter is. But they were much earlier this year in March, and I'm wondering why they have to change it around that time. So you want the school system always gave consideration, but not so much anymore. So the fourth reason why I believe in the resurrection account is because the biblical record is accurate. The Bible records the life, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Scholars, be they liberal or secular or conservative, all attest that the Bible's legitimate in literature. It is something that is valid. Whether you believe it or not is something that was debatable. But the Bible is valid as literature is concerned, and people study it. And some believe it. I believe it. Therefore, the biblical accounts are absolutely true. That's why I believe in the resurrection, because the Bible tells me there's a resurrection. My fifth reason is that Jesus died and was buried. I get that from the Bible. Joseph of Arimathea took the body of Jesus down from the cross, and he placed him in a tomb that he had purchased for himself and decided that he would bury Jesus in that. And the reason I believe the biblical account is this. In the Bible or in secular literature, there is no other suggested place of burial for Jesus. No one has come up with an alternative site. No one has come up with an alternative way of death. The Bible concludes, and so does secular literature, concludes that Jesus died on the cross and was buried in a tomb purchased by Joseph of Arimathea. Number six, there are eyewitnesses to the resurrection, and they are plentiful. Let me read for you from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning at verse 3. For what I received, I passed on to you as first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, that is, the brother of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me, which was Paul, who was one abnormally born. In other words, he was alive when Jesus was, but didn't minister with him or see him. But remember, Jesus knocked him off his ride on his way to Damascus to persecute the church in Damascus. So he has seen Jesus. I believe the resurrection story because these people saw Jesus alive after the day of crucifixion. The fact that they are 2,000 years removed does not change the fact that they saw him. Any more than your testimony in a court concerning an appearance, some crime or some evidence would be discounted because, 2,000 years later, because you're not around to ask anymore. Just because these folks aren't around to ask or tell anymore doesn't mean it didn't happen. The biblical account is accurate, and he was seen by many people. Number seven, all of his disciples died as a result of the resurrection account. Only one died a natural death, and that was the Apostle John. He died at a ripe old age, probably of 101. But all the other disciples, James, his brother, as a matter of fact, was the very first apostle to be killed, and we saw that in the book of Acts here not many weeks ago. Therefore, the disciples all died. Now, for the story of the resurrection. Now really, who dies for a lie? Who dies for a lie? I told you a story today, and I could hold to the story and say that was absolutely true. At some point down the road, you say, Dave, you tell me the truth or I'm going to run you through. You tell me the truth or I'm going to blow your head off right now. You tell me the truth or I'm going to kill you right now. Was that a true story? What do you think I'm going to do? Oh, man, that was a joke. I really got you good, didn't I? Of course. People don't die for a lie. People die being deceived, but they don't die for a lie. If I had people who had seen the Lord Jesus Christ, and if I had seen him for sure, I would certainly not give in to the thing, well, he really didn't live. He really is still dead, isn't he? No, I saw him with my own eyes, and I would die to the fact of said, no, I've seen him. I've felt him. I've touched him. In fact, that's what John said in 1 John chapter 1, that which we have seen and heard, that which we have our eyes have seen and our hands have handled of the word of life, we've touched Jesus. Touched Jesus after his resurrection. So I believe that the disciples died because the story and the account of Jesus' resurrection is true. Number 8. Another reason why I believe the resurrection account as it is in the Bible is that no one ever produced the body of Jesus. I mean, the story of Jesus' resurrection was hot news through Jerusalem. I would think that the men who had sentenced Jesus to death, the priests, the Pharisees, if they wanted to quash the story of Jesus' resurrection, all they had to do was go find Jesus' body, bring it out, put it up on display so people could see, yep, that's the body of Jesus. Jesus is still dead. But you know what? They never did that. No one's ever produced the body of Jesus. Number 9. All other religious leaders. I'll back up just a minute. We do have a shroud. We do have a cloth that may be the cloth that contained the Lord Jesus Christ. And I guess the History Channel has done something and shown some marvelous caricatures of what Jesus would be. Not a caricature, but have shown his image through computers today of what Jesus would have looked like. And it really is a pretty awesome picture. So we have a sheet. And you say, well, is it genuine? Well, I can't prove that it's genuine, but here's what common sense says. If they wrap Jesus in the sheet, and they put the sheet in the tomb with Jesus, and if the tomb was open the day of Easter, when he rose on Sunday, wouldn't you think that someone went in and grabbed it? I mean, it was all folded up nice and neatly. It was there on the bed with the head covering folded nice and neatly. Don't you think someone would have gotten it? Don't you think Mary or his mother would have gotten it somewhere, somehow, and they've kind of held on to it and it's been passed on? That could be. I don't know. I'm not saying it's genuine, but I'm not saying it's false either. I don't know. But it just makes common sense that someone would have grabbed it. And cherished it and taken care of it. By the way, all other religious, my ninth reason is all other religious leaders and founders are dead. Only Jesus lives. And as I'm compiling this, I'm recognizing one thing. All of the religious leaders are nothing more than apostles or disciples or prophets of some God they have never seen, but hope to. They have no visible proof that their God exists. For instance, in the Baha'i faith, Baha'u'llah is the founder of the Baha'i faith, and he's buried, of all places, in Haifa, Israel, on Mount Carmel. Buddhism. Buddha was cremated, and Sri Lanka has the Shrine of the Tooth. A very popular site with Buddhists. It contains the right tooth relic of Buddha. I don't find that hard to believe that they would think that's a big deal. I have a church that meets right next door to my house, and they have relics. They have bones of the saints for which they represent. Irene and Raphael. They have some relic, and you know what? They're just pleased as punch. When they got it, they had to come over, and they wanted me to go see the relics. They are proud that they have the relic, a bone of some dead saint. He's dead. Confucianism. Confucius is buried in Khufu, Shandong province in China. Islam. Muhammad is buried in Medina in Saudi Arabia. Judaism. Judaism looks to its prophets and to the graves of its prophets, not to Jesus. Therefore, the graves of Jacob and Leah are in a certain part of Israel, in Shechem. And Moses, no one knows where he is. God took him on top of Mount Nebo as the rest of the people were entering in the promised land. So they look to where their prophets are. Did you realize that Christianity is the only one who has ever seen God and produced God? It is the only faith where we can say we have seen the living God, He has given His life for us, and He's invited us to join Him in His family. You see, my 10th reason for believing the resurrection story is the greatest thrill of my life. I've seen the tomb. It's empty. I've seen the garden tomb. There are two places that are set aside for Christ's burial. The Church of the Holy Sepulchre, run by the Catholics, is the place where they believe that Jesus was buried. The garden tomb that most Protestants believe where Jesus is buried is right next to Gethsemane, where Jesus was crucified. Calvary, where Jesus was crucified. So we see that the tomb is empty. And it's remarkable. The tomb has three rooms to it. One room is a room for family to sit and watch. The room to the, as you're in the greater room, you'd walk into the greater room, then off to the side, to the right, are two lesser rooms. One room to your left, one room to the right. One room would be for the head of household, the next for the wife. In the outside of the garden tomb is a hole in the wall where every morning the sun rises up and shines right on the tomb, the stone, where the head of household would lay. So when Jesus was there lying on, the sun would rise up and the sun would hit him in the morning. It only did that for one morning, but it still happened. The tomb is empty. I will tell you that. I'm an eyewitness to that. And no other place for Jesus' burial has been ever proposed. Now, let me ask you five questions. Those are my reasons. You've got to come up with your reasons why you believe the resurrection, if you believe it. But if you don't believe it, here's some questions that you ought to ask. First of all, did Jesus ever lie? Did he ever lie? No? I don't think Jesus ever lied. So if Jesus never lied, then let me read to you from Luke chapter 9, verse 22. And it says this, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life." Now those are Jesus' words, not anybody else. Not some disciple, not some prophet. Those are Jesus' words. Well, if Jesus doesn't lie, then Jesus predicted his resurrection. And here's the beauty of this. When Jesus died, he gave up his life. Do you realize that the nails of the Roman soldiers and crucifixion on the cross did not kill Jesus? Nor was it the spear thrust in his side where blood and water mingled out together. That did not kill Jesus. Jesus did not die of suffocation. If an autopsy could have been done on Jesus' body, it would have shown that Jesus died with unexplained reasons. Why? Because he gave his life. No one took it from him. He offered his life for the forgiveness of sins. And on the third day, because he gave it, he can take it back again. And on the third day, through his own power, Jesus raised from the dead. So has Jesus ever lied? I don't think so. Tell me, do you have a reasonable explanation as to where the body of Jesus is? Well, your answer to that is probably no. So why not believe what the Bible says? It's more scholarly than any of us here in this room are. All of the religions of the world, which is the only one that offers the assurance of salvation? Whether it's Confucianism, Islam, Judaism, Baha'i faith, none of them can offer the certainty of eternal life with God. Not one of them. Christianity is the only one that can offer you certainty of life. Certainty of an exciting life now and of eternal life in the days ahead. For one day, you and I will breathe our last. Some sooner than later. And we will all spend a lifetime in eternity. So, do you know for certain? Question number four. Do you know for certain that if you died today, you'd go to heaven? It's a question I've asked literally dozens, if not hundreds of times here over my 18 years, nearly 19 years now with this church. And it's still the most valid question, I think, that needs to be answered. Do you know for certain? Because John wrote in his epistle, "These things have we written that you might know that you have eternal life." Do you know that? Then the last question I think you ought to be asking yourselves is, all right, what must I do to be saved? Which leads me from my 10 reasons to my 5 questions to my 1 response. Here's what I think you ought to do. You ought to come to the cross. Come to the cross of Christ, where your sins were paid, and Jesus died for your sins. And I've made a little acrostic of the word cross, because here's what I believe salvation is really all about. C, confess your need for a Savior. You see, unless you confess that you have a need for a Savior, you cannot be saved. As long as you think you are good enough, as long as you think you can make it, as long as you think in your mind you and the big guy have a deal going on, as long as you think you and God or the man upstairs has an understanding of your situation, you need to confess your sin and recognize your need for a Savior. If you think you and God have a deal, I promise you, God does not make deals. God is not a bargaining God. God has a standard for which heaven may be obtained. So confess your need for a Savior. R, repent of your old way of living. It means turn your back on it. Begin to live differently. You know, it's one thing to say, oh man, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and He died for my sins. And it's quite a different thing to walk out the door here and really live for Him. And have your life changed as a result of His love. You know what? The old habits of the old sinful life, they ought to be done away with. You ought to lose track of those every now and then. You know that language that's a little rough, that's a little coarse? You know, that ought to be done away with over time. You know those lies you used to tell to get yourself out of trouble? That ought to fade. That ought to, you know all those evil thoughts you used to think and those selfish desires you used to have? For sex or for material or for pleasures of life, those things will eventually fade as you repent of your old ways of life. The O is means that you offer yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ for His use. Part of salvation means that you set your mind on the things of God. In other words, I'm not going to live for myself anymore. I'm going to live for the sake of Christ. And the other S is you serve Him with all your heart. You see, I don't give a rip that you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross. I don't care. But what I do care about is, are you living a life that reflects that decision in your life? You see, you can tell me, Pastor, I believe that Jesus died for my sins. But if you go outside and raise hell, what matter does it, what you believe? If you live like anybody else who doesn't know Jesus as Savior, what is that? What value is that? It's only as you serve Him with your whole heart that really salvation becomes really complete. You're not saved because of the works. Your works reflect the salvation in your life. Well, let me tell you. Let me ask you then. Anyone here ready to come to the cross today? Here's what you do. So that we're clear what I'm going to do. I'm going to ask don't do it right now, but when I ask you, please do it. I'm going to ask everyone to bow their head and close their eyes. And at a time in the service, I'm going to ask you to say, look, would you like to confess the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior? Would you like to receive Him? And then here's what I want you to do. When every head is bowed and everyone's eyes are closed, you just raise your hand real quick, just high enough so I can see it. I'll acknowledge it, and that's all I'm going to do. I am not going to make you walk forward. This is an embarrassing time. This is a personal time. You're making an important decision. And I think there's a time for walking forward. And I think the time for walking forward is sometimes in the baptistry when you make your confession of faith public to everybody. But right now, you just need some help. I want you to raise your hand. And then when we're done here today, I'm going to have some time. People are going to come up and get their flowers. But I'm going to stand up here, and I want you to come talk to me. And if you do, I want to be able to talk and have a quick word of prayer. I will take 30 seconds to 1 minute of your time. But I just would love to talk to you and pray with, and know that you made that decision for real. Okay? That's what I'm going to do. So if you would, at this time, everyone, would you bow your head and close your eyes? And I'm going to ask if anyone here wants to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior today. If you do, just raise your hand up real quick so I can see it. Thank you. I see that hand. I see the hands there. Thank you. In the back, thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Hands have gone up all over the place. Father, you have seen these people raise their hands. You have seen their desire to trust you as Savior. And I'm asking that in the very few moments that we have here, that instead of turning and walking out, they'll come up and they'll talk to me. And let me know for sure that's what they meant and that's what they did. In the privacy of a one-to-one conversation where this microphone is not on, and they're not heard, it's just between you, me, and them. So, Father, if that's their desire, I pray that they will do that as we leave today. For it is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you. Now, before you go, we're going to sing one more song. Go ahead, Tom. And then we'll let you go. God of all our salvation, set us free. Death, there is thy sting. Curse of sin is broken. The empty tomb stands open. Come and sing. He's alive. Hallelujah. Alive. Praise and glory to the man. Alive. Now, God.
God has received me. Grave will ever keep me from my King. Means life, 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 hallelujah. Alive, praise and glory to the Lamb. Alive, life, life, hallelujah. Alive forever and ever. Means life, 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 hallelujah. Alive, praise and glory to the Lamb. Praise. Worthy is the one who has overcome the grave. Let the people dance, let the people sing. Worthy is the mighty King. Worthy is the Lamb, worthy of a praise. Worthy is the one who has overcome the grave. Let the people dance, let the people sing. Worthy is the mighty King. Worthy is the Lamb, worthy of a praise. Worthy is the one who has overcome the grave. Let the people sing. Worthy is the mighty King. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy of a praise, worthy is the one who has overcome the grave. Let the people dance, let the people sing. Worthy is the mighty King. Alive, 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 hallelujah. Alive, praise and glory to the Lamb. Alive, 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 hallelujah. Alive forever, amen. He's alive.
Good. I'm glad you've come this morning. Would you just stand up real quick, and we're going to be dismissed. To your feet. Come on, get those creaky bones going. Now, you see those people around you that you shook hands with later? Invite them out to dinner. Goodbye. See you next week.